What's good, everybody? Monday morning edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice, waiver wire time. Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, James Harding, you know the crew by now, Bobby Bender too. What's up, guys?
What's up, James? Welcome back to the program. Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday, guys. At this point in the season, who would have had the New York Islanders being the only team with five players who have nine goals scored or more in the season? Because I definitely wouldn't have.
Good stuff, man. And they took full advantage of their six games so far against the Buffalo Sabres. I know we were kind of joking about it a little bit, right? Like Pittsburgh and Boston have not yet played those Sabres who are sinking by the day, but they're going to have some big schedule fantasy implications when they have those heavy on Buffalo type weeks moving forward. Pittsburgh also, like Pittsburgh, I think is the front runner for that fourth spot after the weekend, right? The Flyers lost both games. The Rangers had a big win on Saturday, but they just can't bring the consistency without Panarin. So all of a sudden now Pittsburgh, a team that I think we all picked to miss the playoffs, like they seem like the real deal. What do you guys think?
Yeah, and Bobby and I were talking before the show started just that I think this Pittsburgh team is better than Philadelphia. I mean, if they get to the postseason, you'd rather face Philly than Pittsburgh, right? I mean, even based on history too, James. So I don't know. Geno Malkin's totally turned it around. I know he's still got a bad plus minus, but he's putting up the points again, and that's exactly what you want to see as a fantasy owner, James, or just as a simple Penguins hockey fan.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know a lot of people who drafted Malkin really high expecting – a solid season out of him, and they just haven't seen it this season. He's been very inconsistent, but you can see the last handful of games, he's really starting to come back around. That line that he's on right now with Jared McCann and Kasperi Kapanen really seems to be solidifying a little bit. Now McCann did leave that game last night, but he does have points in five of his last six games. He picked up an assist last night before he left with that injury to extend his point streak to four games. So, you know, we know that top line with Sid and with Gensel is always going to be a moneymaker for them. It really comes down to their depth. And right now their depth is starting to turn it around and starting to play the way that we had expected them to be playing this season.
And Kapanen, a guy that you mentioned, James, that's one of those like maybe Sunday night additions to the waiver wire column. I know you prepped that in advance on Sunday, and there's always seems to be a player that, you know, kind of comes onto the scene late on the night slate. So that's one for Kapanen. I mean, the fact that he's had a couple of good games in a row, and Malkin, like back to him, that's one of those guys, like even though we continued to drop him, you saw him still in that range of some hot starters around the league in our 200 rankings. Some that come to mind, Tyler Toffoli, Joe Pavelski, James Van Riemsdyk. Even though those guys were like skyrocketing by the week, we still had Malkin in the same range or even ahead of those guys. And this is where you'll see patience like that pay off, right?
Well, and I think if you are, you know, in a fantasy league that has Kapanen available, you have to go out and get him now, because he just, even if you watch their games, he's so fast. He's creating a different dynamic for the Malkin line. And it kind of reminds me of the Penguins from a few seasons ago when they were just beating everybody with their speed on the wing. And then a guy like Malkin can come up the middle and finish. So I think Kapanen's a pretty safe ad. Now, a lot of people did draft him in the last round or two of their fantasy drafts, but then dropped him early on in the season because he wasn't in the lineup or he was in a bottom six role. Now that he's elevated, James, I think it's pretty safe to say that he's entering the must-add conversation.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't have him on the waiver wire this week. Like Pete mentioned, you know, I prep it on Sundays. And then, of course, you know, I prepped it yesterday, got it all sent in to copy edit for them to go over and to post it. And then Kapanen goes out last night and has a goal, two assists, and two shots on goal. So, you know, he had definitely a huge game. He's been trending up. So he's definitely been one of those guys that that I've been watching. But since Malkin has been back and since they've been skating together consistently now, definitely looks like they're finding something, the chemistry that we had been expecting. And let's not forget, you know, we remember Kasperi Kapanen playing with the Toronto Maple Leafs for the last few seasons. And he was a solid contributor up there. He saw times on lines with both John Tavares and Austin Matthews. He had 44 points in 78 games 2 years ago before 36 in 69 games last season. So, you know, he is a solid 40-plus to 50 point guy in a regular season. I think that right now he's 16 points in 21 games. So it's not like he hasn't been producing. It just hasn't been consistent. And now if we can start to see some of that consistency, I really think that 35 plus points is going to be, you know, in the realm of possibility for a guy like Kapanen this season, as long as Malkin can keep going.
And you see Pittsburgh's performance in the standings since they made the front office changes. I don't think it's a coincidence. It was kind of like a fresh little start for them. Just with what has gone wrong the past couple of years with all the wheeling and dealing of Rutherford. I think it was just like, you know, fresh start, clean slate for some of the guys. You see Malkin starting to turn it around, Kapanen as well, for sure. And yeah, with Kapanen, like, he's similar to Alex Tuch in a way where he's not going to get you a ton of power play points, and he plays down in the lineup, second or third line, depending on the day, but he'll cover goals, he'll cover points, he'll cover plus minus, and Kapanen's plus 11, even better than Tuch, and also covers hits. Both of those guys do. And James, I know we were chatting over the weekend about Alex Tuch. I told everybody to wake up last week. We've been talking about this guy for months. Some people are still, you know, downers about this guy, saying, oh, he doesn't play in the top six. I mean, how much better could Alex Tuch be playing on a third line? And my question was to everybody, how many guys out there could be this productive on a third line, right? It says a lot about the player.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for those of you who are still down on Alex Tuch, he's played 95% of this season outside of the top six for the Vegas Golden Knights. And I believe he's the leading goal scorer in the West Division right now with 12 goals. Obviously five of them have come in his last four games, but he's starting to just play like the player that we know him to be. He's got goals in four straight games, 12 shots on goal in that span, and he's getting solid category coverage. He's got three hits and six block shots in his last five games. So, you know, Alex Tuch is somebody that you shouldn't be sleeping on. He is going to get chances in that top six. They have been rotating him in and out, so it's not that he's firmly outside of the top six. Obviously, we have to see what's going on with Mark Stone, who left their game over the weekend. Tuch replaced him on that top line with Chandler Stephenson and Max Pacioretty. But, you know, when you have a third line player, a majority of the time third line player leading that team with 12 goals scored right now, that's somebody you have to be jumping on. And the fact that he's still widely available in over half of Yahoo leagues, it's, you know, he needs to have his ownership percentage somewhere in the 70s or the 80s at this point. And if he's out there, you need to go and grab him.
So let's talk about some players that are on the list this week. Let's start with Rickard Rakell for the Anaheim Ducks. Now, as you both know, I mean, a few seasons ago, Ricky Racks was a top 50 fantasy asset pretty consistently, right, with his category coverage. One of my more favorite players because he used to be tri-eligible as well. So he's dual now, left wing, right wing, James. Now, the interesting thing I see about his stat line, he's only got three power play points this year, which means there's room to grow. I always love to add a player that I think has an even higher ceiling for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, when you look at Rakell right now, again, he's a guy who everybody drafted higher based on his name, and he just hadn't been producing all season until this point. He has about 9 points in his last five games at the moment with three multi-point games, and which has now moved him up into a tie for the team lead with Max Comtois with 16 points. But like you said, only three of those points are coming on the power play. And you know, I don't think any of us really expected too much from the Ducks power play unit this season. But you look at that first power play unit, and it's pretty solid. You know, Adam Henrique, Jakob Silfverberg, Kevin Shattenkirk running the points. So, you know, it's not like it's devoid of talent, but definitely Rakell seems to be a lot more this season of an even strength player. But he is putting up solid numbers still. 16 points, leads the team with 81 shots on goal. So he's still averaging well over three shots on goal a game this season. He's definitely one of those guys, only 34% rostered. I think a lot of people drafted him and then dropped him just because of the slow start and kind of shying away and fading the Ducks a little bit. But he's definitely somebody I think now who's going to be, you know, one of the top performers. And we've talked about you know, weak teams like that, Ottawa, Detroit, all season that do have some sneaky fantasy value. And I think now that he's starting to get going, Raquel is one of those guys who for the rest of the season on a bad team is going to have sneaky good value.
And neither of those guys, Comtois, who covers hits, I think he's got 50 hits this year. So, and he's a plus player on Anaheim. And then Raquel, even though, you know, his line has had some problems and some inconsistencies, he's on a 5-game point streak and totaled what you said, James, and he's only -3. So they're not derailing you in plus minus. And the Ducks just beat the Avalanche the other day. That was their first win in a while. I mean, there are a couple of teams out there that have been starved for wins. The Ducks were one of them. The Stars are another one. But yeah, Anaheim bounced back over the weekend. And even during their struggles and their winless streak, these guys are returning value. So that's what you're talking about with the floor. And I think that Raquel will join our top 200 rankings this week. Comtois was there last week, and you're starting to see some glimmers from the Ducks, which is a good thing. I mean, you never like to see a team like, say, Detroit, right, Robbie, where they have no players in the top 200. You like to see some of these guys sniff some fantasy relevance along the way, even if their teams are down in the dumps a little bit.
Well, Anaheim reminds me of LA last season, where they have these young guys starting to crack the lineup. They're starting to provide the veteran guys with a lot more spark and energy. And if you're in a keeper league and you see some Anaheim guys, Troy Terry, available, stuff like that, you should be starting to make these moves now. Jamie Drysdale is another one that's going to have a big career there in California. So you got to make these moves now, get on that team, because next season you're going to see them start to compete again. And a guy like Trevor Zegras, just his infusion of energy, flair and skill in the lineup really goes a long way. But James, let's switch gears here. Talk about the New York Islanders. We have Jordan Eberle on the list. Now, say what you want about the Islanders having 5 straight games against either New Jersey or Buffalo, but they took care of business. I mean, they are more in the conversation with Boston and Washington, in my opinion, than they are in the Philadelphia/Pittsburgh conversation in that division. So tell me why Jordan Eberle is going to keep this up, even when they start to face some of these better teams.
Yeah, you know, when you look at Eberle, I mean, we know the pedigree that he has. We've talked about him numerous times over the last few seasons with the Islanders. He's consistently playing with Matt Barzal and Anders Lee on that top line. So, you know, his exposure to a player like Barzal alone is always going to, you know, give him some fantasy relevance. 16 points in 25 games this season. He had 40 points in 58 games last year after he signed his contract in the offseason before that. You know, he's always consistently been kind of that 50 or 60 point player. You know, he did have that, I think, 70 plus point season that 1 year early in his career in Edmonton. So we know that he's a solid fantasy contributor. He's one of those guys who's always going to, you know, have good value regardless of where he's playing. And and Barry Trotz loves deploying him in different situations for the Islanders. Now, yeah, only 3 power play points so far this season. He doesn't really cover hits and blocks, but just the fact that he's starting to get going as the scoring player that we know he is, and you can see Anders Lee has goals in multiple games lately. He's starting to play better. Obviously, Matt Barzal just undressing Rasmus Ristolainen and Carter Hutton the other day with that goal that he had over the weekend. You know, that's the kind of dynamic that this line has the ability to develop. And Eberle is just going to sit there and feed off of both of them, whether it's goals or assists.
Yeah, and we're seeing tremendous value right now from that top line and for the Islanders. I mean, you could talk about their third line. I was mentioning not many guys could stay relevant on the third line, but 2 other guys that have and continue to play really well offensively, definitely Pageau, definitely Oliver Wahlstrom. But yeah, that top line joined our line rankings top 25 over the weekend. And yeah, Barzal and Anders Lee, by the way, he was kind of off the fantasy radar for a couple of years with low point totals and still some sound category coverage. But the way that Anders Lee is playing this season, I mean, my goodness, he's been the finisher down in front of the net, just in general for the Islanders that they've been lacking in recent years. So for a guy that they, you know, paid big money to keep, they were fortunate to keep him that year, right? That was the year they were going for Panarin and they didn't get him. And they were lucky he was kind of a team player and stuck around. But he's been really valuable for them. He's been like an elite left wing type in fantasy this year.
Well, I think Eberle's a lock for two reasons to pick up. Number one is that this top line, as you alluded to, with Barzal and Lee, they can play up with the Backstrom line in Washington. They can play with the Pasternak line in Boston, and they can go hand in hand with quality chances against those guys. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that Trotz is also starting to roll them out as a unit on the power play together and keep that chemistry going. Now, the Islanders' power play is converting at just under 23% this season. They are in the top 15, and that's the first time in a long time where I can remember the Islanders power play unit rolling out, and you have to watch it for the full 2 minutes. Normally I used to go get my water, my snacks during that time, you know, get my refreshments, but now it's must see TV, especially when you got a guy like Barzal out there making highlight reel plays. So I think this Islanders team only has room to grow. The chemistry, same thing, more time to develop. And by playoff time, I mean, Eberle should finish top 100 in fantasy minimum. And I think this team is a true contender for the Stanley Cup as well.
Yeah, when you look at Eberle this week too, even if you're just to, you know, have a streaming spot, or if you're looking for, you know, like a really good DFS play, he's available right now in over in almost 80% of leagues. He's only 21% rostered in Yahoo, but when you look at his games coming up in the next week, they have Boston and they have the Devils. They haven't lost to Boston so far this season. I don't expect them, you know, to go undefeated against Boston this year. But he has combined so far 5 points and 17 shots on goal in six games against Boston and Devils this season. So if you're looking for a weekly stream or a DFS spot, I think that Jordan Eberle is perfect right there also.
And yeah, definitely wanted to mention again, Sorokin got the win on Sunday. So, you know, it just continues to trend upward for the player. And he's rostered in, I believe, fewer than 50% of Yahoo League. So if you're looking for a good third or fourth goalie option, few guys are better than him. Also Nedeljkovic, James, we were talking about him last week, but I saw he was on your waiver wire column. What have you seen from him? And I know a lot of the people on Twitter have been clamoring, like, maybe this guy is worth something in keeper leagues, but is he really going to have any value when Peter Mrazek comes back? I think he could, just because three-man goalie rotations sometimes can favor the hot hand if they have to make some tough decisions. But what do you think about Carolina's goaltending and how it affects Nedeljkovic for the rest of this season alone?
Right now, I would put him purely as a streaming and a spot start option. You know, when he gets the start, I would go with him. I'd pick him up. You know, he's 4-2-1, a 2.26 goals against, a 9.27 save percentage so far this season. So he's playing great when he gets the opportunity to. You know, James Reimer's been inconsistent, and we know that. But, you know, he shut down Florida yesterday, two goals on 23 shots. Reimer has now won three straight games for them. You know, so he's another guy right now who, if he's available in your league, you should be going out to pick up. They you know, have a couple of close matchups. They play Nashville twice tomorrow, and then again on Thursday, and then they play at Detroit on the 14th and the 16th, which are their next four games. So it's really hard to see what the breakdown is going to be there. But yeah, I mean, Nedeljkovic has started to prove that he can definitely be, you know, I don't know about a 1A, but a solid complement 1B. And when Mrazek gets back, you know, they may be more apt to ease Mrazek back in because they now have such a solid tandem with Reimer and Nedeljkovic. So, you know, I'd put his value and what he can do for you at the rest of the season with a question mark. But I would also say that you should pick him up or start him in DFS anytime that he gets a start right now.
I picked him up in a league where I had to put Shesterkin on IR plus, and I'm rolling out Samsonov and Kakinen as my other two goalies. And I figured if I could get one start a week, even from Nedeljkovic for the Canes, I mean, that's probably going to be a win for Nedeljkovic. So I think it's a good third string option for you in fantasy. I think Pete made a good point the last program, just with the future of Carolina's goaltending is kind of trending towards a younger option in Nedeljkovic. So one thing to keep an eye on for the remainder of the season. Now, James, One player here that we should talk about is Matthias Ekholm for the Nashville Predators. His name has been flying around in NHL trade rumors already. We are 1 month away. The deadline is on April 12th, I believe, this year. So that's a player, James, I think if you go out and get now in fantasy, not only has he gained value with Ryan Ellis out to injury for the Predators, but if he went to a contending team somehow prior to the trade deadline, that could be big returns for you come fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when he finally returned from that injury where he missed, I think, about 6 or 7 games, he's you know, starting to play like the player that we know him to be. Now, offensively, was Ekholm ever really that much of a producer? Yes and no. He did have a few seasons there, you know, 35, 40 points. He's always kind of been that 30 to 35 point player, but it's everything else that he brings. You know, he always brought hits. He always brought block shots. He always brought a solid shots on goal number. You know, so that would be the reason why I'm going out and I'm picking up a guy like Matthias Ekholm if I'm in one of those leagues where stats like that are counted. If it's more so just, you know, an offensive league, I'm probably fading him. But in most league formats where one or a few of those categories are counted, I absolutely would, regardless of if he gets traded or not. I think he's going to have solid value down the stretch if he stays with Nashville or if he gets moved before the deadline.
Yeah, Ekholm's definitely one of those guys that anytime one of the guys in front of him is injured, he always picks it up in terms of fantasy value as a streamer, especially with defense being such a thin position. He's kind of tried and true. He always steps up, whether he's been the fourth defenseman in Nashville when Subban was there, or the third currently, but now he's the second best behind Roman Josi. So you got to take notice of that. One other guy from Nashville, James, I know I've been down on them personally, but Eli Tolvanen, you mentioned him briefly last week. I saw he's got 7 points on the season and 6 of them have come on the power play. So that's a good category specialist for a pretty barren fantasy team otherwise.
Yeah, he had 3 points in their 2 games over the weekend, and all 3 of them, 2 goals and 1 assist, came on the power play. 5 shots on goal, 2 hits, 1 block shot in those 2 games. So, you know, he's definitely starting to see a little bit of an expanded role. He has been moved off of that top line at even strength. It's back, I believe, to now Johansson centering Forsberg and Arvidsson, but you know, Tolvanen is a guy who, like we said last week, we had talked about for a long time. He's kind of one of those deep sleepers that we were always waiting to break out when he got the chance. And now he's starting to, you know, see a bigger role, and he's starting to take advantage of it, especially on the power play. You know, he's kind of like a lower ownership version and a slightly right now less productive version of a guy like Victor Olofsson from Buffalo.
Also, if you're looking on defense, I would suggest Adam Boqvist for the Chicago Blackhawks. One of the most interesting games I saw over the weekend was the Blackhawks versus the Lightning, when the Blackhawks got out to a great start. Everybody on Twitter was like, this team's a contender, right? And then Tampa goes and scores 6 unanswered and just absolutely dominates the rest of the game. So, but that being said, Boqvist is a solid player. He's got all the offensive upside you want for fantasy. And that Blackhawks team, regardless of giving up those goals and losing in that fashion, they still are capable of playing with those teams, is certainly the top 4 in that division.
Yeah, and Boqvist is on the power play most recently with Kane and DeBrincat, who were, like, last I checked, Kane was what, like, tied for 2nd in scoring in the NHL, and DeBrincat joins him among the top 10 overall. I mean, we knew that maybe DeBrincat could have a bounce back season, because last year was really down for a player that scored 40 goals, 2 seasons prior, I should say. But my goodness, this is better than we could have ever dreamed of for DeBrincat. And you could see, you know, him get a splash, speaking of Boqvist. So that's a really good pickup for sure. One huge trend over the weekend that I wanted to bring up on the show is Tom Wilson's long suspension. I know this kind of comes with the territory for the player, right, guys? Like, you know that if you're drafting him, he's going to cover hits for you. But every once in a while, there might be a hit that causes a suspension. And I think he's got, what, after the game missed over the weekend, he's coming back, or eligible to come back, March 20th. So are you dropping Wilson if you have to? Who are some of the best guys out there at right wing? Like, I know I have Tuck. He's still readily available. Martin Nietzsche, I picked up. over the weekend. I think I had to cut the cord on one of the Dallas players. Also Alex Killorn, who's playing with Stamkos on the opposite wing. Those are a couple of right wing eligible players that I think could maybe hold down the fort while you're trying to replace Tom Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of guys that we already, you know, that we already mentioned today are right wing eligible in Yahoo. You know, Raquel, you mentioned Martin Natchez, Kasperi Kapanen is dual eligible, left wing, right wing. Another guy that I have on the waiver wire this week, Pavel Buchnevich from the New York Rangers, who quietly now, obviously, because Arseniy Panarin hasn't been playing there for weeks. But Buchnevich quietly now is tied with Panarin for the team lead in points with the Rangers, and he's only 28% owned. He has 6 points in the last week. Yanni Gourde is actually tri-eligible in Yahoo, and he is centering that second line with Stamkos and Killorn down there in Tampa Bay. And we were talking about that big win against Chicago. He had 2 goals and 2 assists with 2 power play points and 5 shots on goal. So, you know, there definitely is some depth there. Even a guy like Jordan Greenway from Minnesota, who's starting to come on and be a little bit of a scorer. He has points in 5 of his last 6 games, and he's got goals in 3 of his last 4. So, you know, definitely some sneaky depth on a team like Minnesota, we have talked about a lot this season.
I love that pickup, Jordan Greenway, superb player. He was one of the guys in the Olympics that kind of looked really good too. And you kind of saw like, okay, this could have a really good impact on his future career. I would make that move in fantasy, dropping Wilson if I needed a win this week, maybe next. I would caution those. However, if you are in the top of your standings, March 20th, I think they play the Rangers, Devils, Rangers in a 4-game series that should be 4 wins for that team. So, you know, if you can hold on, I would probably say so. They also have a good fantasy playoff schedule, ton of games against Philly who can't seem to stop a goal. So I would probably say hold if possible. One other storyline here I wanted to talk to you guys about before we get to the slate here. Over the weekend, Buffalo Sabres, you know, another disappointing showing for them. I was looking at the stats this morning, though. They've got a top 3 power play in the league. Who would have thought that? With Skinner, Eichel, and Hall only combining for 5 goals this season. It's really mystifying. Their penalty kill has also been very good this season. I'm just not sure what to make of this team the rest of the way. I asked, you know, a lot of questions on Twitter about Taylor Hall. Should I drop him? You know, what do I do with Eichel? Quite honestly, I'm not sure what to say. I think I'd cut the cord on Hall. Eichel, you can't drop. But what do you guys think?
James and I were talking about it over the weekend. Like, what's going to happen with Jack Eichel? Like, yeah, are they going to be like, I know Robbie and I were saying they should not trade Jack Eichel. If we're talking about real life, I mean, that might be like the straw that broke the camel's back for the franchise if they trade Jack Eichel. So I wouldn't trade Jack Eichel if I was in the chair. But will they be pressured into trading Jack Eichel by the media and the fan base, which is a little dysfunctional right now? That could happen. I mean, and that would be like a tragedy, I feel like. I mean, Taylor Hall, you knew, right? We came in about keeper leagues and stuff like that. We were like, we don't know what Taylor Hall value-wise is going to be for Buffalo. And even if it doesn't work out, it's not going to derail the franchise. But like what's happening with Eichel and like Dahlin is just like an afterthought at this point for a former number one pick. I mean, that's really concerning. So I would keep Eichel in fantasy. Obviously, if he ever were to get traded, it would be to a better spot. So that would be huge for his value. But I kind of hope that doesn't happen for Buffalo's sake.
It's one of the better markets in the game. It just hasn't been shown that way for the past however many years because they haven't been able to make the playoffs. And if you have a team that's top 10 in power play and top 10 in penalty kill, there's no reason why you shouldn't even be close. You should be at least on the cusp of making the playoffs at worst with that stat. I just don't – I'm running out of answers, guys, as to what has gone wrong there. Because it seems like they try these little moves, like bringing in a guy like Eric Staal, yes, such and so, and nothing happens. Nothing ever happens.
You could certainly get a big haul back for Jack Eichel right now, even in the midst of his down season. I mean, I think everybody out there knows that he's probably a top 15, 20 player in the entire NHL. But yeah, something's definitely off when you see Taylor Hall have like a 90-plus second shift. I mean, that should never happen. And then the poor guy couldn't even get across the blue line, fell down on national television. I mean, that's not very good for him, especially as he's tried to boost his stock before the trade deadline. So yeah, anyway, so, you know, looking ahead to the week and, you know, some of the other storylines around the league, I think we've seen, you know, a big focus being on the Colorado Avalanche. Like, how much longer will they be without Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar? You know, obviously losing a game to the Anaheim Ducks over the weekend is not a good look for them, but I know they have some favorable games coming up and, you know, hopefully they get one or two of those guys back. But in the meantime, I know, Robbie, you were saying like Kadri, you have in one league, he's been a disappointment, but he's been producing nicely since being elevated, right?
Yeah. And I think James too, that's a player. If you're looking at the waiver wire list, NHL.com/fantasy, you can find it there to follow along with the elevated lineup placement or without it. He is a solid player. And we've all kind of been waiting for Colorado to hit their stride this season, and it hasn't really happened, but still look at their place in the standings. They're still right up there. You know, they're still one of the hardest teams to play against. And when that team does get fully healthy, which is inevitable, it's maybe a week away, maybe two, depending on the severity of these injuries. Either way, Kadri, I think, is a slam dunk of a pickup.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to go out and you pick up Nazem Kadri right now. He's centering that top line with MacKinnon out, but he's still going to be the number two center there. You know, two assists in their loss over the weekend. One was on the power play. He has 7 points, five power play points and 20 shots on goal in his past seven games. And he's averaging over 20 minutes a game right now in the games that MacKinnon hasn't played. So he's definitely one of the guys you need to go out. Devon Taves and Sam Girard, who have both stepped up with Makar being out, both available in more. Girard is less available right now. He's owned in about 68% of Yahoo leagues. So, you know, he's one of those guys who it's not a surprise. But Devon Taves, still only rostered in 44% of Yahoo leagues. He has assists in three of his last four games. So, you know, these are all guys since the beginning of the season that we've been telling people go out and target. And, you know, now they're really starting to hit their stride. Remember, Colorado's had an up and down season because they've had so many games postponed. They've had a lot of guys injured. You know, this is like the second or third time that MacKinnon is missing games due to injury this season. So, you know, once these guys hit their stride, I think they are going to be the team that we expect them to be.
One team that is starting to look more like the team we expected them to be, it's good to see, but it might be a little too late, is the Vancouver Canucks. And the fact that they knocked off the Maple Leafs twice without Pettersson, and you see some really good value like Thatcher Demko, we were, you know, ragging him earlier in the season, but he looks like he's going to be the number one there this season and beyond, and a good number one option at that. Three straight wins. Are you looking at the Canucks any differently? I know they have played the most games of any team in the league, so they have that working against them for the rest of the season, though. That's kind of a bummer because I think we all liked Vancouver. Whether we thought they would make it or miss, we all were excited about that team's long-term trajectory, and it was just such a disappointment through the first half of the season or so.
When I look at the Monday board, I actually love the Canucks. If Elias Pettersson can get back in the lineup tonight, I love that price, plus 135 against the Habs. I mean, that team, Pete, we're starting to see it finally. You know, when they can get everything going, they've got a lot of good depth pieces. Their defense isn't that bad, but all they needed was a goalie to bail them out occasionally, and we're seeing it now with Demko. I mean, if he's still available, that is a must-add player because you're going to get volume there too. It's not like an Nedeljkovic where you're going to get a good start every week. You're going to get good starts twice, even three times a week in some cases, because Holtby probably be playing in Seattle next season. So, you know, they got to see this Demko, you know, he's got to play a lot of games. They need to know that he's solidified as that guy for management perspective for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I like the Vancouver play tonight. You know, the Canadians have been very, very up and down right now. And obviously they're starting to pull it around a little bit. I think Carey Price has won each of his last two starts after he had that rough stretch where he allowed, I think it was like 15 goals against in three starts. So, you know, Montreal is definitely starting to come around, but Vancouver's starting to play like the team that we had kind of expected them to. I know that Colorado is pretty banged up without having, you know, MacKinnon potentially and Makar. There's a chance Makar could be back for the game tonight against the Coyotes. But I think I like the Avalanche on the puck line against Arizona tonight. I think that there's a solid bet there.
Okay. I like the way the Minnesota Wild played in their games against Vegas, and I hate to bet against Las Vegas because they're just such a good hockey team, and they can come back from behind. They can do everything. But I like the price on Minnesota at home. You get them around even money, and they played well against them. They didn't get the results that they were looking for when they played at Vegas, but they played them tough. I think they can steal one, get one tonight. So I like the Wild. Billy Guerin, let's go ride it out. Dean Evason is now on my radar as a top guy too. I love him. So let's roll.
I'm definitely going to be watching the Blues against the Sharks because I want to see more of Tarasenko, who came back over the weekend. I like that line. I like that they're not banishing Perron, who's been their best player over the past 2 years offensively. They're keeping Perron with Braden Schenn and Mike Hoffman. They're also keeping in the top six. And then they got Jordan Kyrou, who's kind of been their breakout star of the season, centered by Ryan O'Reilly and flanked on the right side by Vladimir Tarasenko. The Sharks give up a ton of goals. So do the Blues. So that's almost a definite over. Those teams played to a 7-6 game earlier in the year, and each of them have beaten each other a number of times. So actually some decent value for the Sharks, who played well that Friday night game against Vegas. They came back from a 3-0 deficit. So plus 140 for the Sharks. I don't mind that, but I'm more interested in the over for St. Louis and San Jose, because even St. Louis, we view them as a team that recently won the cup, and Binnington has a top flight goalie, but I just checked their bottom 10 in goals allowed per game. So they're vulnerable for sure.
Yeah. I was not very high on Jordan Binnington going into the season after his, playoff bubble performance. Actually, a friend of mine and I were looking for odds that he would get sent down to the AHL at some point this season before the year started. You know, so I could definitely see that being a high scoring game. And I think that there's, you know, I know it's a huge, huge underdog play, but I think there could be some sneaky value if you want to throw some shekels down on the Senators at plus 210 tonight against the Oilers. The Senators have been playing a lot better as of late. So, you know, I think if you're looking to just, you know, throw some money on a flyer that could hit something, I think the Senators, you know, the Oilers have been very inconsistent. So I think the Senators could be a sneaky good play tonight.
I don't know, James. I was looking at the board. I like three matchups only: Wild, Oilers, and Canucks. Especially the Wild, Bobby, I'll echo that sentiment. If Kokkonen starts and Mark Stone is out for Vegas, right, that is as close to a sledge as you're going to get with the price for Minnesota. And then for Edmonton, I would love to throw them in a parlay with either the Canucks or the Wild tonight, just to, you know, get a little bit more bang for the buck on that play.
I saw that Edmonton play, maybe a puck line play. I'm disagreeing with you here, James. Ottawa off the back-to-back. They beat Calgary. Now you got to go to Edmonton. I think Edmonton's got to get straightened out here. Yeah, parlay with Edmonton, puck line maybe. There's some stuff out there. Nothing that's reaching the sledge caliber for Bobby here. But I do like the Minnesota Wild. I do like Edmonton. I'm with Robbie on that.
The Flames guys after the coaching change. I mean, I know Sutter's not behind the bench just yet, but holy moly, dropping two straight after the coaching change is not looking good right now.
No, it's not. They're another team, along with Montreal. They've lost way too many times to the Ottawa Senators this season.
And if you want to talk about just you know, always hitting the over under, betting the puck line in the North Division, hat tip to Dave Pagnotta from the fourth period for this one from the other night. Five NHL teams have three players with 10 or more goals on the season, and all five of those teams are playing up in Canada.
Well, and I don't want to go too far into this. We're at the end of the program here, but I was reading, scanning headlines for Sutter over the weekend, and there was a headline about what can you expect from Sutter as a button pusher. Conroy and Jelena share tales from 2004, and it's 17 years ago. So I'm just saying, let's set the bar a little low here for the Flames the rest of the way. And a storyline probably to keep an eye on is Johnny Gaudreau potentially being available. Again, Calgary just can't seem to get things right, kind of a la Buffalo. So we'll be paying close attention to that one.
Yeah, and you remember how those Kings teams played. They had horrible offenses and they were great defensively. I don't know that it's going to work playing that type of style up in the North. You might, it might be a lost cause trying to play that type of style with all the goal scoring going on up there. But yeah, great show as always. And thanks for coming on, James. And everybody hit up James at WaiverWire James on Twitter. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, guys, absolutely. Always great to be on. I'm surprised that that Suter even had cell reception out on his farm in the middle of nowhere where he was chilling out for the last couple of years. But it's good to see him when he gets back. It's good to see him back behind a bench.
For sure. So again, for Rob Reese, Bob Bender, James Harding, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you again on Wednesday. We're actually going to have Aaron Kate Dolan from FanDuel coming on for the first time. So we're excited about that. We had Meany on the other day. So a couple of new guests to join everybody else who's been in the mix. We appreciate all our guests coming on and we'll be back at you on Wednesday talking pucks. And thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.